Welcome, 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 Wahoo fans, to this week's edition of The Lockdown featuring T-Cub and the Ball Hawk.
Oh!
That's right, that's Petty Hawk. You know he gonna get it crunk, as he always does. Dipping, messing with the keys on the board. Yeah, you know, just all kinds of things. But that's who he is, and we love him anyway. Special guest this week, former All-American, pro safety, my man, my mellow, Anthony Harris. What's good, fam?
How you doing, boss?
Man, we good. We good, fam. We good.
Got him on. We intercepted him and got him on here.
Indeed. Indeed. Because, you know, when in doubt, you got to call out, who's that dude? You know what I mean? Who's that dude? How things going, fam?
Man, going well. I'm down here in South Florida training right now, getting ready to go for training camp.
Oh, outstanding, bro. What, year eight?
Yeah, year eight coming up, you know, starting to lose track of them. So, you know, that's a great thing to be able to continue to, you know, punch that ticket, get an opportunity to play. So season eight coming up, feel like going into the season, you know, getting wiser, training really hard, crafting my game, working on things. So I'm excited for opportunity to be back in Philly for a second season. We made a lot of moves in the offseason. So I'm excited for the opportunity that we got.
No doubt, man. Isn't it a beautiful thing to play a kid's game that you love and get paid for it?
It's beautiful, man. You know, to start playing the game as a child, not really fully understanding, just understand, you know, you tackle the guy with the ball, and if you have the ball, you know, they're trying to get in the end zone. So going from there to, you know, reaching the highest point, playing in the league, understanding the game and getting more to the X's and O's and the details of it. You know, coming to really love it over that time as well.
Yeah, that's dope. Shoot, man, I want to jump immediately, and I don't normally do it this way, but I want to jump right into your junior year back at UVA, man. You had one heck of a season that year. You led the country in interceptions, and you were an All-American that season, bro. And talk a little bit about that season, man, and what it meant to you to be named an All-American and to know that you led all safeties and interceptions.
Yeah, looking back over that time, you know, it was a great time, a great run. You know, it was a lot that went into the process to, you know, get those results. It was kind of building up from freshman year to playing primarily special teams to go in the sophomore year, getting that full-time role, to then wanting to take that next step and having a guy, Anthony Poindexter, there with me to really give me the foundation of what it took, you know, the mentality that I needed in terms of, you know, going into that spring ball, you know, how I needed to train, what I needed to be thinking about each day, whether I was working with the team or working on my own, to really push myself to go that extra mile and separate myself. So, you know, obviously I had a lot of good talent on the team, had a lot of fun with those guys, but just preparing to go out there in each week and being able to make big plays, and then get recognized as an All-American, it's a great feeling to feel that work pay off.
How difficult was it, man, for you to have so many personal accolades that season, but the team really struggling?
I mean, it's tough. It's tough. From thinking about, you know, college experience to, you know, going into it, what I wanted out of it, thinking about the class that we had going in, back-to-back seasons, very talented, really just trying to get the program turned around, aspirations of, you know, getting an ACC ring, going to a bowl game and, you know, competing at the highest level against, you know, top competition and not just competing, but winning games was what I desired. So, to get the individual accolades, you know, that was nice, but it wasn't as sweet as, you know, getting some of those close wins that we were able to get versus top opponents, but just not as often as I would like to have gotten them.
Going into that season, if you could reflect back, what were your personal goals that you had for yourself? I know, like, all ACC or this many tackles, get my hands on this many balls. Did you have any personal goals that you just end up blowing out the water?
I mean, since coming out of high school, I had kind of a mentor. He played at the high school level, was very successful. Kind of give me an idea of, you know, in terms of turning the ball over, interceptions, and how many you could get that could really, you know, separate yourself and be able to be recognized from that. I had a number in my head going in, but that wasn't really something that I really focused on. You know, for me, it was just, it was focusing on, you know, putting in the work. I remember hitting the field a lot of times, and even with Trey Nicholson, he was a corner there at UVA at the time, as some people may know, and just working on my craft, you know, training with him, me as a safety, but having that mindset that, you know, really I got corner abilities playing at safety is the mentality that I continue to carry with me. So in terms of just ball skills, being able to move, I just pride myself on being able to cover. So that's what I focused on, and paired that with, you know, studying other teams and being in the right position and, you know, you taking advantage of opportunities, and I was able to get the results that I want.
And being able to finish, because a lot of times they say DBs are receivers who can't catch. So, yeah, you broke that mold.
Yeah, that was big. And for me, it was just, you know, I had that mentality that I was a receiver that decided to play DB. So,
okay.
You know, the mentality of when the ball was in the air, you know, I'm thinking I'm the intended receiver. And that was the mindset that I carried then and I continue to carry with me now.
Love it.
You mentioned Dex being a mentor for you as a coach. I'm not sure whether you really got to see him ball, but he was a monster. Who guys that came through the program, you know, that you may have overlapped with, that were mentors for you that could kind of coach you up?
I think for me coming in, right away, it was just like looking who's got that attitude. And this is before really even, you know, getting to play with some guys, but like who has that mentality? Because I feel like that's the foundation of, you know, being able to get those good results and perform at a high level. I feel like that, you know, it starts with your mentality, your makeup, what you believe in, how you prepare, and the discipline and all that, and then those characteristics that really set yourself apart. So for me, I remember going in and Leroy Reynolds, he was a very passionate guy, made a lot of big plays, just kind of drawn to him right away. And then working my way from that kind of emotional, passionate mentality to like, all right, now who's a technician at what they're doing? I looked at guys, you know, at cornerback, Chase Minifield, who was a dog. He didn't really say much a lot of the times, but how he played and how he went about his work was something that I took a look at. You know, I look at a guy like Ross Adalian, who played in NFL. All those guys who at the college level but were carrying themselves as professionals. And then once I got there and met a few more players, crossing paths with guys like Rodney, seeing his story and his journey, him taking that underdog mentality, but really just putting the work in each and every day outside of what the team is doing that allowed him to, you know, excel at that level. So, I mean, there was a number of guys who just, you know, they wanted it, they put the work in and was able to achieve some things.
It's interesting, man, you know, and it's wonderful that the mentorship played such a key role and you see such an importance in it. Coming that next season, going into your fourth year, they had an all-world safety coming in, five-star kid, Quinn Blanding, who starts as a true first year. What was it? It was important for you, it sounds like, to really pass that torch and mentor him as you had been mentored, especially because he had the potential to really be great. And at, you know, him having a successful first year, man, we all put that on you and your veteran leadership. So talk to us about what you saw in him and why it was important for you to mentor him.
I mean, coming in, you know, you have the recruiter, you know, it's something there. You know, it's just all about, you know, getting it out you on the field. So coming in right away, it was just about, you know, winning games. You know, how can we win? What do we need to do to win? And him coming in, being a big piece, it was important. I felt it was important to, you know, try to get him up to speed as quick as possible. That way, you know, he can be able to be back there and move fluently and do the things we need to do. We needed to do defensively to be successful. So, I just saw a guy who, you know, had a lot of talent, who came in still hungry, humble about what he was coming in and intended to do. And he wanted to learn. He wanted to be coached. And that really wasn't my role. We had great coaches, But, you know, for me, it was just about trying to teach him some of the things that other guys showed me and shared with me to help me be successful, to, you know, pass the torch. So that way he can be the best player that he can be and ultimately help a team and someday pass it back down.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
And I think it speaks highly of you because we're in a day and age where it's a lot of insecure ball players. And he was highly touted number one at his position. You playing safety. You was an All-American here at UVA. So a lot of times the OGs are just feel some type of way. But like you said, you went to him to accelerate his learning process because you understood how he can help you out defensively. And that speaks highly of yourself, you know, paying it forward because guys embrace you the same way. But again, it doesn't negate how dog eat dog this business is. And you went against that grain. So that speaks to your character right there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm a believer in, you know, what's going to happen, what's going to happen. I coach now in Philly. He says, time will promote you or time will expose you. So, you know, it's really no delaying what's going to happen. And the results that you're going to get, it can simply be because a guy is more talented than you. That's something that you can't control. You can't control if somebody is going to be more talented than you. But you can, you know, try to outwork that person to close the gap or keep that separation. So from there, I try not to really focus on, you know, what other people have in terms of talents or those things. I just believe in the talent that I have and working as hard as I can to maximize my talent. And then, you know, not really focusing on the other stuff. But I mean, at the end of the day, I want to be a winner in what I do. So if that means helping somebody at the same position, whether they're, you know, coming up trying to replace me or whether they're going to be coming up playing alongside me, I just know, you know, it's, you never know what can happen in the game and you never know who may need to step in. So, you know, I just take it on a chin and it's part of the game.
That's true leadership though, fam. Real talk. You know what I mean? And just, it's just a credit to you, man, to be in a leadership role, be that dog out on the field, but at the same time, possess a humility and understanding that you're working for the greater good. You know what I mean? And so kudos to you, fam. But, you know, I've always known that you were that person, though, bro. You always brought that across. I saw how you led. That's why one of the things that gravitated me towards you because of how you played the game, how you approached it. I looked at you and Quinn as very cerebral type athletes at the safety position, which is what you need, but you both had the athleticism. You never ducked any wreck. You was going to put your face on somebody. Regardless, you know, and it, bruh, you know, it as a former safety, bruh, that I just get giddy when I see y'all biting people face off out there, man. And it, yeah, man, it's so where did that come from, man? Where did all that heart, that fight, did we gonna take it back to LC Bird? What was it existed at LC Bird?
Hey, man, as soon as I picked that helmet on, you know, we started with drills that, you know, it would show who really wanted to be on the field and who really wanted contact and who wasn't, who was a little bit afraid of it. So I just think it started from when I first picked up the ball, you know, hanging around a little older guys in the neighborhood, playing pickup football, getting tackled by them, you know, tackling them. And it really just created that mindset of, you know, size and stuff doesn't matter. If you want it, you got to go get it. And oftentimes it's just, you know, who wants it more, who has the stronger will. So part of that is, you know, showing your or displaying your physicality within the game when you need to. So, you know, just trying to carry that since I was playing as a little kid.
Yeah, and I noticed that at LC Bird High School, you were a quarterback, a wide receiver, and a DB. And Hulk, that's why you see Hulk blowing his cheeks up right now, because I always say that every great athlete was a quarterback at some point. And he hate that fact. He hate that fact. He ain't got that part. I mean, he a great athlete. You know what I'm saying? He's an outlier. Let's just give him that. Because he became great, and he
went, keep bringing up old stuff, man.
That's just
every damn episode. All you damn avatars coming up here, ex quarterbacks, and I gotta listen to this soliloquy by him. Why are all y'all playing quarterback in y'all lives, man? You know what? Go ahead, Cub.
I'm just saying, bro. It is what it is, fam.
Look at Ant. Talk about See,
that quarterback that sprouted on me out of nowhere. I hadn't played quarterback until I got to high school, and it wasn't until my junior season that I joke around like, "Coach, check me out. Never played." He took me serious and picked me under the center.
What kind of offense did you run, fam?
Man, first year when we was out there running the I formation, I was turning around handing that thing, bootlegs, waggles.
Ooh.
And I wasn't confident first year, you know, man. Look, it's third and what? Let me pick up this first down with these legs or a quick booty fix.
Facts.
You know, from there, he seen the ability to run. And the more I played, the more games we went into, you know, I opened it up a little bit with, you know, passing it down the field. So we ended up changing the offense more so later in the season and into my senior year. Did a little shotgun and zone read a little bit more after that.
Okay.
I respect
two-time All-State.
How he opened up that, hey, man, first year, my legs was my arm. I like that.
My legs was my arm, man. Look, I got boys out there, tight end, 10-yard crosser, throwing a run. Nah, we gonna work
Willie
on
Beamer.
It. I got you. Hey, week five, I got you, bro. Week five.
I said week five.
Week five, I got you. Give me 5 weeks. We good after that.
Love it. So we got to ask you a question because you play basketball too. So, you know, we get guys on here. We ask them this question. Were you a basketball player? Or were you a hooper?
Man, I was a hooper, man. Like, I was a hooper.
Okay. Okay.
But I had to put that work in, though. I wasn't one of those guys who just came out and I was where I worked my way in it. I picked up the basketball. I think my first three possessions, I probably had three traveling calls. I thought I was on a football field or something. But, you know, I got in the gym. I did. I do what I do. I got in the gym, had a coach who worked with me. My mom worked at a school. She would open the gym up for us. We would shut them chairs and cones up and we would get to work. So over time I progressed, was able to get a couple of scholarships. But then I say, you know what? On the football field, that's really where my passion at. And that's something where I feel more comfortable. And I feel like, you know, I have an opportunity to go to the highest level. So put that basketball over on the side and pick up the football full-time.
I tell a lot of basketball players that are like 6'2 to 6'4, right? I'd be like, what's your game like? And they're like, I could do this, I could do that. I said, can you jump out the gym? Like, are you special at shooting? They're like, no, I can play D. I can facilitate. I said, well, we got positions in football that'll love your size. So, when you're 6'2 to 6'4, you got to be like jumping out the gym. We got to be a special shooter. Like, you have to be like, some form of generational talent in a sense, because that's how difficult basketball is at that size. But then when you take that basketball player and put him on a football field, now it's like, who is that? Because if you could guard somebody with a ball, go press, go mirror somebody, because and just act like you playing basketball. Like the foundation is there, and then the prospect. The eye test, as they say, is there. But basketball players, no knock on guys your size playing basketball. It's just that's the difference. You have to be a generational type talent as far as your vertical, your speed, your shooting ability. Something about you got to jump out. You know, so that's why AI actually love football more. But when he got locked up, basketball was his ticket out of the detention center. So he went to Georgetown and the rest is history. But he loved football more than basketball.
Yeah,
that's amazing, man. So yeah, bro, I love to give Hawk that grief though, and it's something that I never told him before. This will be the first time that I ever brought this up. I was an all-conference point guard too my senior year. I ain't never brought that up. Now I ain't gonna ever say I was.
You got any hats? Caps?
Hey, I ain't ever gonna say I was a hoop.
Nah, we lost in the state championship. For basketball, my senior season. And other than that, we didn't make it in football. We got knocked out of playoffs.
Now, do you have any hats to put on because he capping? That's why he ain't telling me this until today. Him and B.I. swear, but down they were all everything point guards of high school. Shout out to Brandon Isaiah, who come from the Trafo. You know what I'm saying?
Same high school. Same high school. That's right. That's right. See, that's right. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
And you deserve it because I always give him grief about 757. You know what I'm saying? He 804. You know what I mean? So I can't claim Ant, even though I want to claim Ant right now. I can't claim him. I can't say Ant one of mine. No, he 804. He them real boys. You know what I mean? The boys would be like, nah, we got something too. You know what I'm saying? If we were gangs, they used to be rivals. Now we all together.
No doubt. So Ant, when it came down to recruiting, man, what were the schools that were after you the most, and what ultimately made you decide Virginia was a spot for you?
So me, I didn't play football. I didn't start back playing football until my sophomore season. I missed my freshman year. Played receiver, DB sophomore year, had a couple picks. My junior year is really when the recruiting exploded. Playing quarterback, playing corner, playing a little bit receiver. It took off. So, I mean, I pretty much had all the teams in the ACC, had SEC schools coming through. And for me, right before recruiting really became what, you know, it is today for a lot of kids with all the posting and scholarship here and scholarship there, I ended up getting hurt. Mm. So last regular season game, I break my leg. But prior to that, before recruiting really took off, London and Coach Reed, Jim Reed come in and they talk about the transition from Richmond over to UVA. So I like the staff, I like the coaches. So then for me, it was just about, you know, focusing on ball. So once they transitioned, UVA immediately came on my radar. Mm. So I went through that whole process, met Coach Dex, met Coach Moore, felt like, you know, that relationship with the coaches and experience at that level, as I also planned at the professional level, was, you know, was major for me. And then being in Virginia, I wanted to stay, you know, relatively close to home, kind of wanted to represent the home state. So for there, it was just about staying patient. Ultimately, I ended up getting hurt. Coach London and the staff came in, you know, said regardless of, you know, what happened, they still wanted me to tenure university. So for me, I thought that was very important. And that's what kind of did it for me. You know, I thought about, you know, Maryland, because that was close at the time, North Carolina. But ultimately, you know, checking out the campus, checking out the coaches, talking to the other players that we were coming in with, I felt like UVA was the right fit for me.
So before London transitioned to UVA, UVA hadn't really showed interest in you?
Honestly, there were so many schools coming in. Mm-hmm. You know, I think for me, it was just really just schools come. It was moving so fast. I think for me, I almost had to really sink in a little bit about what was going on with the amount of schools coming in and the amount of attention that I was getting, because it was only shortly that my football coach mentioned that speech that you were talking about being a 6'1 point guard.
Oh yeah.
I had a Virginia Tech come in for basketball. So, you know, it was kind of a lot going on with, you know, basketball recruiting, football, and a number of other schools deciding what I was going to do. And then us, you know, making a deep run that all kind of got lost in there. But, you know, once Coach London got there, it was really when I remember, you know, that impression of, hey, like, we got your back regardless of what happens. You know, sometimes you mentioned in the business, things happen. Yeah. Players get hurt, scholarships get taken up. Some schools still come around, but it was just that initial, you know, loyalty and acceptance of, you know, keeping an offer there that was major for me.
And before Cuff asks you a question, I want to make sure the listeners and recruits that are listening reiterate what he said. I wanted to stay in state and represent my state, because that gets lost now because of it's a lot of glitz and glamour. And I understand the programs aren't where folks wanted to be, but there's nothing like playing for one of the schools in your home state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was big. And for me, I'm a builder. I think that's just in my DNA. Me and a lot of other people in my family, that's just the mentality that we got. Once we take ownership or take part in something, we want to leave it better than where we found it. So I just felt like that was major purpose for me to be able to build something and, you know, consider that mine versus step into a program, you know, already established. And, you know, just attending there, I wanted to be part of something. And I just felt like at the time with the coaching staff, all the players coming in, being from the state, it was something that could have been very special had we executed the way we wanted to.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's outstanding. So when you got there that first year, did you feel like you were ready to play off the bat? I mean, you know, some guys come in, they're like, man, you know, I see the size, the speed. I think I might need a red shirt year. Did you go in thinking, yo, I'm ready for prime time off top?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I came in, we had a lot of talented players come in. And we had some players already on the roster. So we just, from a group standpoint, recruiting class coming in, we felt like we could add a lot of value to the team and that, you know, a lot of guys would come in and be able to play right away in some form, some fashion. It didn't work out that I, you know, played defensive stats coming in. We had two veterans, you know, Rodney McLeod and who was at the time? Yeah, another safety too. I can't think of who it was coming to.
You had Rodney and I know he's talking about.
He was from Richmond too.
Yeah,
but he was so far ahead. He was so far ahead of me.
Gracious.
But he was a good player. I mean, he was a banger. You know, Rodney was more of a deep safety, rangy guy, but he was a banger. He was very passionate, big leader in the locker room. So for me, I wanted to push those guys and try to get an opportunity to play. It didn't work out that way, but I felt as though, you know, I had the ability to be able to go out there and play and make some plays coming in right away. So, I mean, it was definitely fun. I can recall a number of guys going to the field in the afternoons, the offensive guys and the defensive guys. We were running our own little 7-on-7, and we were all just excited, you know, for the opportunity to play together and join the rest of the people that were already there.
Yeah, and it's you got a taste of a bowl game that first year too, so that had to be exciting.
Oh yeah, that was great. You know, I felt like, you know, we had a good season and we actually lost some games that, you know, we should have won or probably could have easily won. But you know, we ended up making a bowl game. That was a great experience right away out the gate. So that kind of set it. You know, that senior class that was there really set a foundation of, you know, how to work. We came in, we followed their lead, and we tried to, you know, assist in any way we could. And ultimately, you know, we didn't get the ACC championship, but we were able to make it to a bowl game. So from there, it was really just, you know, following that foundation of, you know, how we tried to work each offseason leading up to it and trying to execute when we played on Saturdays.
Oh, okay. So then after that first year, going into the second year, what was, now that you had a taste of it, mostly special teams, but you got a taste of it, and I'm sure that just made you hungry to be like, all right, I got to be up in here on a regular basis. What was that preparation like for you in the mentality, your mindset going into that second season?
It was like, let's go. I remember just in training camp, you know, from freshman year, just making plays on the ball, you know, getting a couple of interceptions. And I remember, you know, checking guys like Chris Bird at receiver, who was premier receiver for us at the time. And, you know, seeing a look in his eye on, you know, the performance and how I was developing and the ability I had. And that was another thing that kind of gave me, you know, that confirmation of, you know, you can play. You know, this is a guy who's had a good career here. And, you know, regardless of the confidence you have in yourself, this is somebody else who sees it as well. So that was really just validating. So going into second year I was thinking, you know, let's go. A lot of guys were, there were a few people who started, Trey started freshman year, but there were a couple other guys who played primarily special teams, but was expected to come in and start and was highly recruited as well. So we were thinking, you know, it's our time to, you know, show up. And You know, we came in like any other players with not as much experience. We had our mistakes, but you know, we made some good plays as well.
Yeah, you guys were young that year too. You guys were very young, one of the youngest secondaries out there that year. And you you had an outstanding season. Team finished 4-8. And then the transition came after that season.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about, because, you know, Jim Reed, that was my guy. That was my guy. So it was hard to watch him, you know, be kind of pushed out the door. And I'm not a fan of Tanuta, but, you know, you guys flourished, you know, some of you guys flourished under his leadership. Talk to me about how that transition was for you as a player.
Yeah. I mean, we were the youngest secondary in the nation, but that wasn't anything that bothered us. We were thinking we were going to be the youngest, but still yet one of the best secondaries in the nation. But after that season, we were all thinking, you know, we've learned, we had some learning experience. We can only, you know, get better. We can only continue to improve talent wise, but, you know, understanding the game, how it's played at that level, getting full-time snaps in that system, you know, we were thinking we could be able to take the next step. But to see, you know, that transition from coaches, it was kind of unexpected from a defensive standpoint. There were some people who felt, you know, as though like we could have maybe made some adjustments. We thought maybe adjustments on offense were going to come, but it kind of came, you know, the other way around. But regardless, you know, as players, you know, we just want to focus on playing. Once change is made, it's just about adapting at that point. So Tanuta came in with some defensive stuff. Guys were still excited about it. You know, tried to pick it up fast. But ultimately, you know, it's like we're in a first season again. So, you know, that was still a learning curve for it. We did excel in areas. We did turn the ball over a lot. But when it comes to what we were able to do as a team, we weren't able to win.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and truth be told, I mean, I think you guys had a top 25 defense that last year for Coach Reed. And we were surprised too. Me in the booth saying, wait a minute, hold up, Jim Reed's gone. I mean, the defense just need a nip tuck. It was the offensive side where the struggle existed, you know? And so, yeah, a lot of us were surprised, but you know, your third year, you flourished. That was the All-American year. What was Tanuta's style? How did you accept his style?
Aggressive. I love it. Aggressive. And you know, he wanted to dictate to the offense. So we had a policy that nobody was going to run the ball on us, which, you know, a lot of guys took to and love. That's kind of the mentality that you got to have. One of the worst ways that you could, or worst feelings that you can have is a team lining up, running the ball every play. You know, they're going to do it, but yet they're still able to get 4 or 5 yards or big runs. So just having that mentality that, you know, teams weren't going to run the ball kind of set a staple of how we were going to play. And then from there, once we did that, guys were able to have fun. You know, you're able to get people in negative plays. You make them one-dimensional. You know, defensive ends love when they can just kick their feet up and, you know, rush the edge and rush the corner and know his pass majority of the time. And as a defensive back, you know, that's what you love as well, knowing that, you know, it's going to be a passing down a lot of the times. Defensive line is going to be able to get pressure. And the quarterback's going to have to put it in the air and give you an opportunity to make a play. So guys like myself, you know, we welcome that style and then we embraced it.
Interesting. Then your senior year rolls around. Did you entertain coming out your junior year after having, you know, All-American honors?
Yeah. What was that process like?
Man, that process was a little scary. A little scary now, but nah, man, it was one of those things where for me, I was unsure what I wanted to do. You know, I know I had a big season, but I felt as though I still had a lot that I could tap into, in terms of being able to play and being able to display. So for me, I decided to come back, you know, work on that and, you know, try to finish building what I came there to build. You know, for me, like I mentioned earlier, it was about coming there, building a program that was going to be sustainable and winning and trying to win the ACC title. So, you know, after having that big season, after having a defense perform at a high level, I wanted to be part of, you know, a nice winning season. I wanted the opportunity to go out, beat Virginia Tech, opportunity to play in the ACC championship, opportunity to, you know, chase, you know, being in a bowl game. Those were things that I was still looking forward to. So in terms of, you know, going to the NFL was something that I thought about, but ultimately, you know, all of those factors and wanting to, you know, finish and get my degree while there is why I came back.
Yeah, I mean, we glad you did, but, you know, we also were like, damn, boy, he can go this year. You know, and it's crazy. And I have evolved myself when it comes to, you know, saying guys, should they go or should they stay? Because, you know, at one point in my life, I was like, man, you know, they got to come back to school. They got to get the education. That football don't last forever. Now I'm of the thought process, man, go get your money. You can come back and get that damn degree at any time because, bro, I mean, it's just the money that's out there for you guys now. You got to get it. You got to strike while the iron is hot. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, kudos for you coming back. I mean, you had a really good season by those standards. I mean, 108 tackles, 10 passes defense, 2 pass breakups, but you played injured too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, that was big. You know, I finished my junior season and, you know, I was like, you know, I want to come back. I want to display, you know, more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought about coming out, but at the same time, you know, you think about you want to be developed and take advantage of the opportunity. So NFL to college is a different beast, not just like on the field, you know, business wise and all sorts of aspects. But you know, I decided to come back for those reasons. I ended up getting hurt. Some people might look back and like, oh, why wouldn't he be the guy who, you know, once gets hurt, sits out and think about themselves and, you know, get ready for the combine, get ready for the draft prep. But at the time that just wasn't me. You know, I wanted to be out there. I wanted to, you know, could try to work on those things. So I did play through the season hurt. And ultimately after the season, I needed to get 2 surgeries, one on my shoulder, and I ended up breaking my hand in the last game. So that threw off my entire draft prep process from, you know, being able to train, being able to work on what people wanted to see my 40 times. So being able to work on that, being able to just even be in the weight room and develop my body at the time. So I came out and essentially, you know, it hurt my stock, I believe, you know, not being able to perform at the combine. But ultimately, I understood that I would get an opportunity to play, and that was all I really needed.
And I think, you know, with you coming back, because you said something earlier that resonates with, you know, it puts it in the perspective of why you came back. Like, whatever's going to be is going to be. Like, we always feel like we can control everything and we second guess, but the universe is already written. So I feel like when you coming back and when Cub said the amount of tackles you had, it didn't register that you was around the ball that much that last year, because you think since Quinn is there, you have been playing back. But to me, it showed you went from having 8 interceptions to 2, but you went from having 80 tackles to 102. So you demonstrated that I'm not just a guy who's a ball hawk. I'm complete. Also, I was still top 10 in the ACC and pass defense. So I may not have the interceptions, but I'm still around the football and I'm showing y'all that I could be interchangeable, because we know at the level that you're at currently, they always say, are you a free or are you a strong? But if you're somebody who can be both, and we'll get to when you was with Minnesota, because I felt like that came into fruition of your last year and what you showed.
Yeah, I think that was to get more into detail, that's really what it was. You know, I had 7 interceptions in college, and I wanted to be undisputed. I wanted to be I wanted my draft portfolio to look like this is the number one safety on the board, you know, or at least that top tier. Like, we got to really take a serious consideration about this guy. Mm-hmm. And for me, I wasn't sure if I had shown that, you know, with that complete game my junior season. So mm-hmm. for me, that's really what it was about. It was just coming back, showing that, yeah, I could be that ball hawk, but also I'm a complete safety from my makeup and my tackling to, you know, whether that's physicality, open field, you know, ball skills. I really wanted to show it all while at the same time being able to check those boxes in terms of what I wanted to accomplish at UVA.
Because that, like, folks, y'all understand, for Ant to have 100 tackles and for Quinn to have 100, it's not like people was coming through line screen. We're talking about Coach Noodle's defense. They was coming down thumping dudes, like biting mouthpieces off. You know what I'm saying? So that's why it just, like, it dawned on me, like, damn, that's right. Ant was coming down biting people's faces off as well, because we knew the young boy 3 couldn't do nothing but go forward for his first. It's not a knock on him. He'll tell you that. I could just go forward. Give me a fullback or a tight end. I ain't backing up. Ant back there. But the fact that you had over 100 tackles as well just demonstrated that, yeah, I'm a complete safety.
Mm-hmm. Right. It was impressive. And it was impressive to see it. It was impressive to see it, bro. And so so as we roll the tape forward, draft comes around, you go undrafted, and you remember the conversation we had once Minnesota picked you up. You know, I hit you up and was just like, all you need is the opportunity. Keep that chip on your shoulder and go show them what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so because I knew without a shadow of a doubt that you were going to make that squad, bro, because, you know, they got you on the cheap. And I remember telling you, you just learned about the business of the NFL, you know, because they could have drafted you, but they played the waiting game. Yeah. They played the waiting game. So like, okay, who we got him free agent. Now we ain't got to cut a big, big check on a signing bonus. You know, I mean, it's, people don't understand the ugly part of the game, but the shit is real, you know? And, you know, you were like, yep, I got you. I got you. And bro, you just went out there and ripped shit up. You slowly waited your turn, kept elevating your game each and every season. And then, bro, then you were killing it. So talk to us about that mentality of not being drafted and what you were thinking as you stepped up, you know, into the Minnesota Vikings locker room.
Yeah, that one, I had no clue I didn't see that one coming. But like I said, you never know what to expect. It's unfamiliar territory for a guy coming out of high school, you know, to really know what to expect. You can have a number of people explain it to you and say that this is how this may go, this is how my neck may go. But at the end of the day, it's not up to you, and it's really not up. Probably not up to the people that you know, advising you and telling those things. So to go through that experience, it was tough, you know, sitting there watching every round go by and really taking a look at, you know, your body of work and, you know, seeing picks go by and knowing that, you know, you have the talent to play. And that you're willing to work, and that you have worked just as hard as any of those guys who were able to hear that name call. So it was bittersweet in a sense of, you know, how I mentioned earlier, what's going to happen is going to happen. Understanding that, you know, those guys who got their name call probably worked just as hard. So, you know, I tried to keep that in mind. And really, I just, you know, was waiting for opportunity. I think what hurt the most was not hearing my name called, but having everybody who supported you, you know, since a little kid, and who wanted nothing but the best for you, and, you know, seeing them and them not hearing my name called. I think that's what kind of made me, kind of got me the most was, you know, because I understood, you know, how everything was going to work out. But for people who don't understand the game, who don't understand the business as much, they just look at, you know, you know, you're a really good player, but they don't understand the aspect of not being able to perform at the combine and things like that. So for me, it was just about, you know, letting my family know, you know, it's going to be okay. You know, I'm all right. You know, so as long as you're good, I'm good. And when I get the opportunity to get on the field, you know, I'll show people what I got. And for me, it was really just similar to the path of, you know, getting hurt in high school, you know, having Power Five schools come in, everybody trying to get you to come visit schools and all of the light and attention being on you. But, you know, once you get dinged and you're hurt and it might be a question on it, you know, that desire to have you may not be as strong as it once was. So it was just about focusing on me getting healthy and taking advantage of the opportunity.
Let me ask you a question. And Petty Hawk got a question for you. It was 15 of them mother suckers drafted and you wasn't. Do you know the 15?
Nah, I ain't really that petty to keep a list. You know, I hear guys say that, you know, they've got a list of all, you know, all of the people who were drafted ahead of them. But realistically, I think I only had three who I thought humbly, you know,
trying to.
It's, you know, sometimes to me, it's a little hard talk. It's a little hard talking about it.
But, oh, you want me to talk for you? Because I can talk for you.
Nah, it's a little hard talking about it. But I thought that there were three other guys who, you know, would be in the category that I felt I should be in. Lance Collins, who was the premier safety, who I thought his style was more of a, you know, in the box, strong safety. And what's the guy? He went to Green Bay. I know he played at Arizona. He was more of a free safety. I liked it his game. I didn't think he could be a dual threat in terms of playing in the box and playing deep. Yeah. I thought both of those players was either a strong safety or a free safety. And I thought myself, I thought I had the ability to do both. So, you know, I thought with my ability and to do those things that I was – you know, the better of the three or the most versatile of the three. So, I mean, outside of those three, I'm not really sure. I mean, for that point, it was really just about, I just need an opportunity. And, you know, I'm a focus and I'm a show people, you know, and prove to the people who care about me that I am as good as they think I am. And for the people who, you know, may not have thought that I was as good or not worth the draft pick, I didn't really worry about that too much.
No doubt.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as you hit the door, bro, you made a name for yourself. You were in practice squad for the first 12 games of your rookie season. Then you were in the starting lineup. Year two, you come in there, you're battling for the backup. You know, you are the consummate person that is stay ready so you don't have to get ready. So whether it was Harrison Smith going down, Andrews and Dayhill going down, bro, you were in there and you were playing at a high level. It was almost like, uh-oh, y'all done let the dog in the game now. It's going to be hard to get your spot back. And, bro, that's how you played. And ultimately, that's how it worked out for you.
Play either one. That was the key. Because Harrison was a free. Other, like, he was either, which one, Gorch? That one? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of, for life, for me, it's kind of all came full circle. You know, each lesson or each obstacle was something that I had faced previously, just at a different level. So I understood how to handle it. And that gave me the confidence that, you know, I've been here before. You know, going in Minnesota, whereas, you know, particularly they had a number of veterans. All of them had played a lot of time in the NFL, so they had the experience. And me coming in as a young guy who had the talent, but just needed a little bit of experience and opportunity. It was similar to, you know, being at UVA, you know, walking in with Rodney McLeod and Corey Mosley.
That's his name.
Corey Mosley. You know, they both were veteran players. They both had played a lot of football. They've had success. They had been in the systems or been in a number of systems in their respective levels. So for me, it was really just about just staying prepared. You know, it's kind of, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So understanding that and just being patient and continue to work to try to close that gap or be ready for if you know, a player didn't do what they were supposed to do, and I got the opportunity that I was able to take advantage of it. So that was the mindset that I had the entire time from UVA to Minnesota, and getting an opportunity to start in that first year and having success right away, it just validated and confirmed that I got the ability, you know, and continue to believe in myself and continue to work it with the right time and it all come together.
Hey, I ain't gonna lie. So it might be a little biased, but once I saw you were starting, I was like, Minnesota got the best tandem, because I always thought Harrison was one of the best safeties. And people ain't want to give him his just due because he was Caucasian. So I'm going to say it. But that motherfucker can go. How was it playing beside him?
Man, it was fun, man. It was fun. You know, Harrison, he's a great dude. Obviously a great player. You know, I think, you know, being in Minnesota, a lot of people might not see those televised games. They might not really watch them as much, you know. Sometimes, you know, that can kind of get lost a little bit, not being able to really watch a player. You know, sometimes the teams that make the playoffs, you know, those players that get that TV time, you know, you can check the list and assume that they are the best at the position that they that they play. But at the same time, you know, there's a number of other guys out there who may not just have the exposure. So getting able to play with him, I knew right away it was going to be fun from when I got there, just watching him play, understanding how cerebral he was, understanding how savvy he was. And he obviously had the ability, big hitter, but he can make plays on the ball. So I thought if I got the opportunity to match up with him, you know, we'd be able to see things kind of through the same lens, play off each other and take advantage of some quarterbacks and punish a couple running backs coming through the hole. So it was fun while we had the opportunity to play with each other. I try to keep up with him now continuously. We talk from time to time.
Hey, look, man, I had so much fun watching y'all back there together. Somebody was getting their goddamn cat peeled, like Kevin Hart said. One of them, I seen Kamara cut through that mud. He having a great game. Get that up, Kamara. We ain't doing that today.
Yeah, I mean, it was phenomenal, bro. Talk to me, man, about the validation that you felt going from an unrestricted free agent in your sixth year with Minnesota, they franchise tagging you.
How many phone calls you get?
Man, that was a once again, I think, you know, that was a true blessing. You know, to be able to you know, get that franchise tag. It meant something to me. You know, it meant that I had, you know, did some things on the field, and shown some talent and make some plays where, you know, they felt like they had to do that. But for me, it was kind of like, you know, that team player aspect continued to, you know, come in. And I think a bit of that adversity throughout my career, you know, I just felt as though, you know, I wanted that multi-year deal where, you know, I can just focus on playing football and I can really get to, I mean, I've been enjoying it my entire career, but, you know, it's nothing like, you know, getting that security. You know, I think that's one of the most desired things, not only in our profession, but in general, you know, that sense of security. So the tag was definitely a blessing, you know, making that journey, making that climb from free agent to getting into that starting role to getting to that franchise tag. It was the ice cream, but at the same time, I wanted the cake too. So I wanted that multi-year deal as well. You know, I wanted it all, but you know, I'm grateful for the opportunity that I was able to, you know, put that display out there and they made that decision. And just from there, it was just about getting back to work and really trying to, you know, duplicate the success that I had.
Yeah, and it was amazing, man. You know, you also, the timing was perfect. You know, that 2019 season, bruh, 6 picks, you know, 58 tackles, 11 passes defense. They had that. Hey, I was like, ooh, he about to get. So after that season, I was like, yeah, they going to have to pay my dude. So
he came out player of the week the first week.
Yeah, I was like, okay. So then they franchise you in that franchise year, 104 tackles, 7 passes defense. So, you know, they like, yeah, that's right. You better had done that. So were you surprised that they didn't take care of you after that and you made a move on to Philly?
Um, No, not really. I think as much as I had showed and displayed and done for the organization, I think, you know, it just came down to structure and timing. You know, you look at, you know, the makeup we had, it got a guy like Harrison Smith, had a lot of success. I believe a future Hall of Famer. You know, he's still there, still playing at a high level. You know, at that point you start to think, you know, do you want to pay, you know, two safeties?
Yeah.
There's not a lot of teams doing it around the league. I think Buffalo is right off the top of my head was, you know, one organization that has done it. So I didn't know if that would be a precedent. You know, I know every team has different needs, but I thought the way that it worked out, I wasn't sure that it was going to, you know, work out for a multi long-term deal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So then you get to Philly and then you and Rodney are reunited, you know, how was that, bro? Cause that, bro, I'll tell you, it was a thing of pride to see two UVA guys in that secondary roaming that thing, putting it down, man. How was it for you as a player?
I mean, it was good, man. You know, anytime you can have two Wahoos in the room and, you know, you represent on that major platform like that, it's great. So, you know, the relationship was there. We kept communication all throughout each other's careers. You know, we played each other a couple times, hit a couple jersey swaps, and, you know, we talked about being able to do that. So coming there, you know, it was a different role. I think the year before he had played down in the box a little bit. And previously in my career, I had played deep primarily. So when we came in, you know, we had to work around that and try to, you know, do what was best for the team and put each other in good position to make plays.
That's dope. That's definitely dope. I want to be – Petty Hawk want to appear again. Petty Hawk got a rebuttal for the Minnesota Vikings playing two safeties. I know why they ain't had no money. The goddamn quarterback got all these. No, I'm just
trash ass cousins.
I ain't say I did. That won't me.
Damn it, that was Petty Tony.
But goddamn it, with that man get all this guaranteed money, you can't pay the quarterbacks on defense. God, hey, shout out to Kirk Cousins and his agent.
His agent is fire. His agent is fire, you know, but it just, you know, I get it that it's tough to pay two safeties premium money, but man, it's hard to come by two really good safeties though, man. Yep. It is. It just, bruh. And so when you get an opportunity, man, you know, you got to take advantage of that, fam. I mean, for real. I get what you're saying. I understand.
Right. I mean, they signed, you know, they gave Harrison extension. So that's the nature of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
But still, Kirk, you could have gave my dog and a little bit of that money, Mike.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? You're getting it, Mike. Share, bro. Damn, it's guaranteed it's yours. You could have, hey, yo, and I got you on the back as a gift. You got to pay no taxes.
There it is, right there. I got you, fam. I got you.
How much you need? What? How many millions? Hold on. Hey, go tell them get add more millions. Okay, we got you, Aunt. No taxes either.
So, all right. So talk about the difference, man, in the fan base in Minnesota and in Philly.
Ooh, the skull versus the battery throwers.
Oh, man. Man. Philly different for sure.
Yes, sir.
Philly definitely different. But Minnesota, that was passionate. You know, that's that skull chant, it was special.